Today on Real Radio.
When we pray, the Christian is brought to a place of simplicity, simple assurance in God. Give us day by day our daily bread also means that you, God, you've promised to supply us what you give us. And we should be content with that. And we can look to you to do that. In Philippians 4:19 speaks to us about assurance. And it says there, and my God shall supply all your, what's the word? Need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We think the word means wants.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. The first four verses of chapter 11 contain what is often erroneously dubbed the Lord's Prayer. It is not the Lord's Prayer. It is a model prayer or framework of how we believers are to address the Almighty when presenting to Him our praises and petitions. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called When a Christian Prays.
What happens when a Christian prays? We looked at the first five points in our study last time together, and we also made mention of the fact, and it is a biblical, theological fact, that goes against tradition. This is the famous portion of Scripture, as Jesus also taught in Matthew chapter 6, two separate events where Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. This has incorrectly been addressed and known as the Lord's Prayer. It is not the Lord's Prayer. It is more technically the disciples' prayer. And a quick read of that will tell you quickly that it cannot be the Lord's Prayer, because in this prayer of Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, Jesus says, pray this way. We'll talk about more on that in a second. But he says, when you pray this way, one of those things, and we'll hear about it today, is asking God to forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Jesus could never have prayed that prayer. This is not the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer that the Lord taught the disciples how to pray. But unfortunately, tradition has clouded the understanding of the Word of God in this particular point. If you want to look at the true Lord's Prayer, you're going to want to study John chapter 17. Why? That is where the Lord prayed, and it's a great prayer to look at. We're blessed by this because the disciples in Luke 11 verse 1 asked the very thing that you and I are prone to ask, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus was a man of prayer, and as the disciples saw him praying, they saw the benefits. And so they asked, Lord, teach us to pray. This is the architecture that Jesus gives us to building a prayer life. This is the scaffolding, the frame of what prayer is all about, given here in Luke 11 and Matthew chapter 6. In our study last time together, very quickly, we looked at these five things that are so vitally important. We looked at this regarding the conversation. We saw that when a Christian prays, it's an ongoing conversation. Number two, when a Christian prays, we realize that it's a much needed union. That when you and I pray, we are connected to the very heart and will and mind of God. Thirdly, we saw that when we pray, when a Christian prays, it is a sacred endeavor. When we pray, we are literally connecting in real time. That is heaven time. It's amazing to me. When somebody prays on the East Coast, the West Coast, or around the world, when we pray as Christians, we are immediately arriving, as it were, our prayers before the throne of God at the same time. Prayer is one of those things that's so sacred to God that it actually invades the time zone of heaven. Don't you love that? When we pray, it's now to God. When we worship, it's now to God. And we know this from Scripture. When a sinner converts to Jesus Christ, angels rejoice in the presence of God in the now, in that instant. So, wow. Do you want to be connected to heaven? Do you want to have an ongoing conversation in that union with Christ through that sacred act of prayer? It is an awesome thing to realize that it brings us into the very real time of God. Fourthly, we saw that it's a humbling process. A person who prays is a person who's been humbled by God. And that's a great place to be. God uses humble people. How can people be humble? By praying. When you bow the knee. Oh, were you here Wednesday night? If you were not here Wednesday night, I will pray right now that the Lord will forgive you. It was awesome. Why? We had a night of worship and communion, but God led this body of believers to go to their knees. People were kneeling in prayer and worship. People were laying down, crying out to God. It was awesome. That is a humbling thing. What a humble thing. I have a picture that I bought in Valley Forge, where George Washington, by the way, knelt in prayer alongside of his horse and prayed that God would intervene because we were looking at losing there at Valley Forge as the winter was so bad. You say, well, Jack, how do we know that George Washington bowed his knee in prayer? How do we know? Somebody take a picture? Kind of. There was a man that was spying on George Washington from behind a tree and sketched the very act of the great general, the commander-in-chief of our forces, all alone, he thought, praying to God in a humble prayer. What a great thing that even a general and a future president would pray. And then we also saw in number 5, that's where we left off, it's a certain reality that when we pray, we are beginning to practice and to rehearse the very spirit of heaven above, that the Holy Spirit of God brings into our reality, that this earth is not our home. Isn't that an awesome thing? I don't know about you, church. Do you guys watch the news, or do you look to me to watch the news for you? I watch the news a lot. You guys, the world's gone crazy this week. If you don't have Jesus Christ and the certain reality that heaven is your home, you're going to need some Melanta today. You're going to need some Tums. You'll need more than that. You'll need Jesus Christ. So let's look at it together. We'll read it one more time before we pick up in our 6th point, Luke 11, beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And so he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here we go. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Point number 6 in our study this morning, it is this. When a Christian prays, number 6, it's found in verse 3. We're brought to the place of simplicity. When we pray, the clouds move away. When we pray, the fog dissipates. And we realize this. Number 1, the simple reliance upon God is renewed in our lives. We're brought to the place of simplicity. What kind of simplicity is that when we pray? We are brought to that place of reliance. We're reminded. Jesus said, pray like this. Give us day by day our daily bread. Church, mark this down. Any Bible theologians here this morning, make note of this. It's a rare moment that we have in verse 3. This is a remarkable verse because the word daily here means something bigger than just now. It appears only here in all of the New Testament. Jesus uses a word that if the careful reader comes across it and digs his spiritual shovel in and starts to mine what Jesus is saying, there's a wonderful gem that you'll see here. It means when he says, give us our day by day this bread that we request, Lord. The word here, daily, means give us the bread that we need now to eat physically. Watch this, church. But it also implies in a very, very a mystical way. It's a very beautiful word that he used here. Give us food now, thank you, God. But my heart's passion and desire is the very day that your bread is given to me once and for all, forevermore. It's giving me my bread now to eat physically, but I look forward to the day when I'm with or having your bread eternally. So the word means, Lord, I'm thankful for eating now, but I look forward to the bread of the day. Speaking about a very, very awesome union with Christ and being with Christ. The word is pregnant with meaning, and we don't want to skip over it all that quickly. It would be more like this, if we were to put it in a modern day translation. Lord, provide for me what I need right now. today and for what I will need for the day that is coming, the day of God, the day of Christ, the day of the Lord, when we'll see him. This is a sublime spiritual meaning here. It's very, very wonderful. Lord, give us our spiritual strength, but give us, Lord, the strength to remember that we're talking about eternity. It's a beautiful reminder that we as Christians are to be looking daily for that ultimate bread of life to come, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, jot it down, by the way. There's a lot of verses here. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 31. Jesus said, our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, and that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. That's what Jesus is saying when he said, when you pray and you say, give us our bread day by day or our daily bread, you're asking the Lord, feed me now, get me through this day, but I look forward to the day that the bread of life will be my food, will be my eats. And so we want to be reliant and relying upon the Lord for our material needs. Now, hang on. Give us day by day our daily bread. Bread. You say, Jack, that's mighty simple, isn't it? That's pretty humbling. Yes, it is. Although many people, you know, we've all been raised this way. We've all been told this, that 3/4 of the world goes to bed hungry at night. That means they don't even have bread to eat, or they just have enough to get by. We, on the other hand, give us day by day our daily dessert is our life. You know, I wonder sometimes where the blessings of God end and we take off from that point on the luxuries of man. God says, he promises, I'll give you bread to get by day. It's probably safe to say that none of us have ever lived day by day on a morsel of bread. And yet God says it's okay. If we had to live day by day on a morsel of bread, we would probably think the world's come to an end. We have been so, so blessed, and maybe we've taken even blessings and we've prostituted them beyond that, that they become luxuries that we demand. He didn't say give us day by day our daily dessert. There's a big difference. We can be fully reliant upon the Lord to provide our needs, says the Bible. And there's a great difference between the bread and the dessert. And when I think about the goodness of God, church, let's be honest. When we read our Bible, let's be true here. We need Americans and Californians, because we've got the weather, should be the most thankful people on the planet. You want to know why? Because we have more than one pair of shoes. You know what? Most of us have more than one pair of pants. Most of us have more than one shirt. Most of us have more than one of anything. We have more. We are so blessed by God. And yet, did you know that God only, and he's not being stingy when the Bible teaches us that he's provided and shall provide enough to get us by for the day. That's all that God has promised you and I. How many of us have cars? Raise your hand. He didn't promise us cars. You can read the fine print. You can look. You won't even find where he's promised us donkeys. It's not there. No subway. No airplanes. That's dessert. He's been so very good to us. In Matthew 4, verse 4, it says, but he answered and said to them, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So simple is what God has promised to give you and I. Church, I have traveled a great deal. I know many of you have traveled a great deal. And this is kind of sad and embarrassing. But if you've been to Europe, out in front of restaurants written on an easel, a chalkboard, it says, we serve American portions. I kid you not. If they want Americans to come in there and eat, it will say on a sign out in front of the restaurant, we serve American portions. Do you know what American portions look like? You can take a field trip today after service and go to Claim Jumper, where you order a cake. I mean, it's a slice of cake, and it comes as a cake. And they even call it the mother load. It's sure to bless your cardiologist if you eat it. Over the top, but yet God has promised such simple things. And so we need to be very careful of the fact that we're to be reliant upon God for what He has promised, and it's basic. We live sometimes in our culture, we live to eat rather than we should be eating to live. Day by day, give us this bread. Assurance. When we pray, the Christian is brought to a place of simplicity, simple assurance in God. Give us day by day our daily bread also means that you, God, you've promised to supply us what you give us. And we should be content with that. And we can look to you to do that. In Philippians 4:19 speaks to us about assurance. And it says there, and my God shall supply all your, what's the word? Need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We think the word means wants. No, it's needs. By the way, you might find this interesting. If you're unemployed, you're going to want to memorize that verse, Philippians 4:19. The word for need in Greek is where we get the English word employment. So, hey, listen, do you want a new job or are you unemployed? And my God shall supply all your employment according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that great news? Psalm 37:25 says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging bread. Boy, I probably might upset somebody by saying this, but God's word says his children will never be seen begging bread. You know what? I get offended when I see somebody at the end of the freeway with a sign that says, I'm hungry, I have no place to live, I'm starving, please help me, God bless you, or I'm a Christian. I've seen him where it says, where I'm a Christian. Now look, it's not for me to be Judge Jack. That's not my position, that's not my place. So will we give them water? Will we give them food? Will we give them a dollar? Yes, but ultimately, it's an affront to Christ. It means that that person, if we take the sign at true value, I'm a Christian, God bless you, I'm starving, I'm hungry, I'm naked, I'm poor. Which, by the way, some of these guys are making $100,000 a year doing this. It says, I'm a Christian. My God doesn't know about my condition. He doesn't care about me. I need your help to get me through the day, not God. He's not helping me at all, is what that sign says. Now, you may be offended at that, but you know what? I'll argue with you on this one. If the person's, look, the person's there hungry, if they're on the side of the freeway, we're not to be Judge Jack or Judge Alex, Judy, Judge, whoever their names are now, there's a ton of them. We're not to judge them. Just give them a dollar or $5 or buy them a burger. Yeah, but what if he's just a scammer? Then God will deal with that in the end. Give them some food. But when you give them food, say, you know what? You are a shame. You are a shame to the name of God. You got this sign right here. It says, that Jesus loves you or Jesus loves me. If he loves you, then what are you standing here begging for? The Bible says in the book of Psalms, the righteous, God's children, shall never be seen begging bread. Write me later. Thirdly, under this point, brought to the place of simplicity and that simple trust through God. We know that he's going to provide. We know that he's going to provide because he's always provided. When he says, give us day by day our daily bread, simply trust him. Listen to this. I love this. Oh, man, I think I love it also because we've been to this place in Israel. Matthew 6:25, Jesus said, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on your body. Is not life more important than food and your body more than clothing? I don't know. If you go to Bel Air and Rodeo Drive, that's a good question. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow or reap, neither do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed or as beautiful as these. Now if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? See, when we are focused on these things, we are not praying. And when we're not praying, we're not mindful that God says, I promise, Jack, I promise, Fred, I promise, Mike, to supply all of your need in Christ Jesus, my son. Proverbs 30, verse 8 says this, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. That's a wise prayer. God, don't let me get poor and don't let me be rich. But give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become so poor and steal and so dishonor your great name. Isn't that a great verse? Man, next time you go to your financial advisor, say, I don't want to be rich and I don't want to be poor. Give them this verse. In fact, if you're a Christian financial advisor, once again, that's Proverbs 30, verses 8 through 9. Some people shouldn't have money. They get goofy with it. They get dumb with it. Point number 7 in our study. When a Christian prays, we're brought to the place of freedom. Freedom, verse 4 teaches us. Jesus said, when you pray, pray this, forgive us our sins. Man, I want to pay close attention to this. When we pray, we're brought to the place of freedom. Freedom of being forgiven. Oh, church, this is the best. Freedom of being forgiven. When the Bible says, and I love it, straight up, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Don't you love it? The Bible doesn't tiptoe around and offer up an apology. I'm sorry, but the Bible teaches that God believes that the heaven and earth were created by him. The Bible doesn't apologize. It says it straight up. God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible with equal boldness says we have sinned. We're sinners. And in this politically correct lunatic age, people go, oh, how could you say that? You're damaging my self-esteem. You don't understand anything. You need to know something. You'll never get true self-esteem unless you find out that Jesus Christ is waiting to forgive you and cleanse you from guilt and shame and all the secret nasty stuff you think about and do in secret. Jesus says, bring it to me and I'll forgive you of it and set you free. Man, that's liberation and that's freedom. The freedom of being forgiven is an awesome thing. Jesus says, pray this. Make sure you pray this. Lord, forgive me. Imagine with me for a moment. Imagine if in a human's life, in our lives, do you remember before we were Christians? We felt this way, though we didn't look this way. We walked around heavy. We walked around burdened. We didn't even know the words heavy and burdened applied to who and what we were.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called When a Christian Prays. A look at the first 4 verses of Luke chapter 11, what is often inaccurately dubbed the Lord's Prayer. Now, this mini-series is part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative written by Dr. Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this mini-series, When a Christian Prays, can be yours on CD for a contribution of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. Simply ask for it by title when you call, click, or write. When a Christian Prays. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in that contribution the traditional way, here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.